And there will be a reflective worship here this evening, starting at 6:30. Pastoral news. Alan and Helen Johnson are still in Kingston Hospital. Helen is coming to the end of her life. We have several members of our community who are undergoing tests and medical procedures. And we ask for your prayers for them all, including Becca Staunton, who will be having keyhole surgery on Tuesday, and Ray Erskine, who had treatment yesterday, and she is currently in cardiac care at St George's. Leslie will be away this week, and so if you'd like more updates, please could you contact Catherine Treweek. This Wednesday, the Kingston Interfaith Forum will be holding another We Stand Together vigil at 3 p.m. outside the Bentall Centre. This is a response to the Finsbury Mosque attacks. Their words of invitation include, "Our heartfelt sympathy, thoughts and prayers are with all who fear such attacks. All good people must stand together and join in rejecting hatred and violence from wherever it comes." On a more practical matter, Georgina Forbes has given me some brochures that highlight support for tax help for older people. So if you think you may be overpaying, there's some advice here. And finally, Liz Bartlett would like to say something.
Hello. Two musical events coming up this week. On Wednesday morning, the Kingston Third Age Orchestra is giving a concert here at 11:30, a very nice varied programme. There's no tickets to be bought, but there will be a collection at the end for our community hub here. And then on Thursday, it's our KURC lunchtime recital, and David Elwin will be giving a piano recital. Lovely works from the 18th and 19th centuries. Again, it's free, but we'll have a retiring collection for the community hub. Thank you.
We join together to worship God. Hear these words from the psalmist. "Praise God, O heaven and earth, seas and all creatures in them. Let all God's people praise the Lord." We join together to sing, "Lord of the Dance, I Danced in the Morning."
Thank you.
Have a seat. We join together to pray. Let us pray. We come together to praise and worship you, our God. We're all different. Even those of us who look the same are different. We've got different hopes, we've got different needs, we've had different experiences. Some of us come together as friends, some of us are strangers. Some of us have come together in groups, and some of us have been brave enough to come on our own. But we are held together by you. Thank you for inviting us into a group that could be called family. It's bigger than we imagined, and it is forever growing. And thank you for valuing each last one of us. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we tarnish the word family, when we exclude other people because of their relationships have turned out in different ways and the word is heavy with stereotype. Forgive us when we have suffocated one another by the use of the word. We've avoided suffering when we could have been helping. When we've discriminated those who want to be in and those we want to be out. Forgive us and help us to work on relationship with one another and relationship with you. And we offer all our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. That's it. I'll get down the steps and she starts scraking. Hurrah! Oh, sorry. Trying to work out where I'm putting my mic. That's what I'm doing. You all think I'm dancing. No, I'm not dancing. I'm just shuffling the microphone. We believe that God is generous and gracious and loves us and knows that even the cleverest of us, even the most emotionally able of us, is only able to catch a tiniest glimpse of God. Knows only a smallest fraction of what God is like and knows only the smallest fragment of all there is to know. You know, are you comfortable? You all right? Just for a minute. Yeah. God, don't you look like Dad? Right, chuff, in the room. So, it's a sign of that. That we baptize infants. United Reformed Church, one of our, you know, we're a united church, and one of our strands, they only baptize adults. But some of us baptize infants, which is what we're going to do for Sophia on this day. Her parents will make promises, and our community who represent the whole of the church, we also will make promises. Godparent promises to encourage Sophia in her growth in the faith. Baptism is a sign of God's grace, God's generosity, God's love. And I see the sound guy at the back getting anxious. The next bit of the equation is our response to that. That's cross, okay. Those of us who, an intermittent microphone, that's worse than no microphone, isn't it? It is. Those of us who come to faith ourselves, who would encourage others in the faith. So, I'll get you two, and your godparents, up you get as well. You've got the best seats in the house, haven't you? You gang. Where's Jensen? Jensen, hello. You coming up as well? I think you should. Oops. You're taking his chair with him. Let's join together to pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, of all creation. We give you thanks for water. It may look ordinary to us, but it is a very precious thing, and we need it to keep us alive. Blessed are you, Lord God, of all creation. We thank you for water that refreshes and sustains all of life. We thank you for the symbol of water to wash. We thank you that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, that Jesus found his baptism fulfilled by his death on the cross and being raised to new life for us. We ask, O God, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this water, that Sophia Grace will be born anew of water and the Spirit, and will always remain in the number of your faithful people. And we pray in the name of Jesus, to whom with the Creator and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, for now, forever. Amen. That's mine. Can I have that? Yeah, I think I should. I think I need it. That's mine. Oh, good. Phew. You've been a bit embarrassing, a bit of a grap at the front. So, Martin and Emma, you've come for the baptism of Sophia in response to the call of Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So let us hear you confess your faith in God, and you as supporters and encouragers for them. So for all of you, do you believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth? And to you, do you promise to teach Sophia the love of God and to bring her up in the worship and life of the church? And to you, do you promise to pray for Sophia and her home and her family, and support them as you are able as ministers of God's love? And to you, I know that a number of you, that you're here to support, but this is, you're representing the whole of the church on this day. As a congregation, a community of faith, representing the whole, Sophia, and promise to share with her what you have found and received, the gift of God's love revealed in Christ. Oh, Sophia Grace. What a lovely name. I'm a bit prejudiced about Sophia, you know that, don't you? I'm coming through for this. Here we go. Sophia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh. Yeah, that's good. Wasn't working anyway, was it? Let's sing. Let's pray. Loving God, we pray for your blessing on Sophia as she grows in the faith. We ask that you would bless her home, bless her parents and her brother. May they all together know love and joy and laughter. May their home be a place of safety and welcome. And we pray that one day Sophia would come to make her own profession of faith and declaration of love and service for you, Lord Jesus. And bless all of us who have seen this sacrament of faith, that our faith and convictions would be reaffirmed. Lord, we pray. Amen. Ooh, that is not good. Let's sing a hymn. It's a bit hot, isn't it, Pet? Right, we'll sing a hymn, and I'll let you all see it.
This has been a shopping day.
just turn the old sneaking on. Here we go. Jensen's gone. He's gone. So we, on this day, maybe we're back. On this day, we believe this is a step in a journey that has gone back through time, really. And it's a celebratory day. So we want to give you something to remember this day, something to help you with the fulfillment of your promises, so that one day you make the promises for yourself, Sophia, and your parents to help you with this. So there we are. This is for you. You can carry that. Unskilled, lucky. It's good. And where's Kathy? There is Kathy. No, I need to sign it. Please have a seat. It might be the kids come back in, and in which case, remind me to give that to Jensen. It might be the kids don't come back in which case, take it for Jensen. So I'll put it there. And then if the kids come back in, make rude signs at me. So the set readings for today are in Jeremiah and in Matthew. Jeremiah is a prophet, which means that he's one of those people that speaks what he believes to be God's truth to people in power. So Jeremiah's got something to say, and when people speak truth, you know, brothers and sisters, we all know that people don't form a line to wave flags and say thank you very much. So Jeremiah suffered because of the truth that he believed God was telling him to say to the people. So this is from one of his prophecies, and Sue Watts will read this passage to us.
The first reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning at verse 7. Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I am, and you have overpowered me. Everyone jeers at me. They mock me all day long. Whenever I speak, I have to cry out and shout, violence, destruction. Lord, I am ridiculed and scorned all the time because I proclaim your message. But when I say I will forget the Lord and no longer speak in his name, then your message is like a fire burning deep within me. I try my best to hold it in, but I can no longer keep it back. I hear everybody whispering, terror is everywhere. So let's report him to the authorities. Even my close friends wait for my downfall. Perhaps he can be tricked, they say. Then we can catch him and get revenge. But you, Lord, are on my side, strong and mighty, and those who persecute me will fail. They will be disgraced forever because they cannot succeed. Their disgrace will never be forgotten. But, Almighty Lord, you test people justly. You know what is in their hearts and minds. So let me see you take revenge on my enemies, for I have placed my cause in your hands. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. He rescues the oppressed from the power of evil people. Here ends the first lesson.
So the second reading from the Gospel according to Matthew is a number of sayings that are together about following the right master, about don't be afraid, even those who would persecute the body, about relationships with family, about where ultimate authority and ultimate right resides. And John Watts will read this passage to us.
We're reading from the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 24. No pupil is greater than his teacher. No slave is greater than his master. So a pupil should be satisfied to become like his teacher, and a slave like his master. If the head of the family is called Beelzebul, then the members of the family will be called even worse names. Do not be afraid of people. Whatever is now covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. What I am telling you in the dark, you must repeat in broad daylight, and what you have heard in private, you must announce from the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. For only a penny you can buy two sparrows, yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. For those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same before my Father in heaven. But if anyone rejects me publicly, I will reject him before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Your worst enemies will be the members of your own family. Those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their son or daughter more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who do not take up their cross and follow in my steps are not fit to be my disciples. Those who try to gain their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. Thanks be to God.
Amen. So the question is, oopsie-daisy, how is Sophia to have a full and joyous life and all the best things that we would wish for her on a day like this? What's the wisdom from those readings? The first thing to realize is that full and joyous are not the same as easy. It's not the same. Ooh, as if by magic. Your life is not full and joyous if you take the route, if you make your choices based on what is easy and what is not. If you take the line of least resistance and never challenge the status quo. Your life would be easier if you did that, but it wouldn't be better. So Jeremiah is facing social death, and Jesus is talking about persecution and standing by and standing up for what you believe to be true. And the minute you start behaving and saying things as though there was something more beyond your family's immediate selfish needs, there will be trouble. So the prophet Jeremiah lives in times when oppression of the poor was becoming socially acceptable. And he believed that it was God's will that he spoke out, and of course people didn't like it. But that doesn't make him wrong. A And Jesus goes on to talk about, if you want to gain your life, then you have to lose it. And those of us who know what it is to love know that that's true, because that is where the fullness of life is found. So yes, of course, there are tears of frustration and the crush of disappointment when you love somebody, but that's also where joy is. Life is found in giving yourself to something that is bigger and better than you are. So the second jewel from those readings is that it helps Sophia to realize that she's not the center of the universe. She's not even with her brother the center of the universe. I wonder if you've ever met somebody who says how they worship their grandchildren. I've heard somebody actually say that phrase, I worship my grandchildren. And these are texts for people who say that. Jesus, in this text, it's not that Jesus is saying that family isn't important. He's saying there is something more important, even than family. So he uses family, which, you know, loads of people think is important. Most people think it's important. But if you think about it in his context, it was social infrastructure. You know, it was the NHS. It was the Department of Work and Pensions was your family. And even there's something more important than that. There are things that are bigger than the nuclear family. And it can be, and let's remember that the nuclear family itself can be a cloying and suffocating thing. There are plenty of people whose family is not mummy, daddy, two kids. There's mums and dads and partners and stepchildren and civil partners and children who are there, sometimes all of that together. That's what family means. So even if you're a person who doesn't believe in God, we can see, anybody can see, that there are things that are bigger and more important in the terms of rearing a child, to help that child to understand that there is more to life than how much plastic tat can I buy, or how many thousands of pounds can I spend on a party. There is justice. There is right. There is good. There is mercy. There is love. There is consideration of those who are weak. There is consideration of those who are poor. There are bigger things. Can you imagine there are bigger things than plastic tat? So this is a day that says, yes, Sophia, you're lovely, we think you're great, but there's more than you and your brother and your mum and your dad. And there's even more than your extended family. And in this place, we remember that there are, you know, the saints who rest and have gone before us. Even more than that, it puts her in relationship with all those that she meets, everybody that she meets. Things, you know, if you have a notion of God, an understanding that there is more, then that changes the way that you relate to everybody that you meet. It also changes the way that you relate to the earth, that one day, soon, will be beneath her feet. Creation itself. The third thing to take from those readings is to know that not all suffering is right. Yes, it is the experience of the church that in the majority of the world, the majority of places where there is Christianity, there's also persecution. That is our experience. But if we believe that every hair on our head is counted and not a sparrow falls and God doesn't know about it, then suffering of itself is not right. There is reassurance. Do not be afraid. So The fourth thing would be from the text of that every hair on your head is counted, and which would give us all a lovely, oh, every hair, marvellous. God knows, God appreciates, two sparrows die and God knows me, and that's lovely. But the text in Jeremiah is, Almighty God, you test people justly. Test, test. The path to maturity is not through ease, it is through testing. And new ideas that come, better standards that are around, more loving aspirations, and the fulfillment of that, what that means, every wacky idea that you get into your head, that we get into our heads, does not necessarily come from God. And things need to be checked out. And they need to be checked out with more than just the people that think like me. And they need to be checked out with more than my internet pals. And we all know in our society where that thinking has got people. We need to be able to check things out with people who have wisdom. So let me ask you, who are the wise people that you check things out with? Jesus contends that no one of us is going to be greater than our teachers, so we need to be careful about who our teachers are. Doesn't have to be necessarily somebody that you see face to face. That is where the internet comes in. It's where books come in and time spent reflecting comes in. But who actually, really is formational for you? It's a strange thing in our society, isn't it, that the wisdom, and particularly the wisdom of the years, aren't valued. It's a strange thing, that, isn't it? If you actually stop and think about it, it's a wee bit bonkers. And this is another feature of this day, to say to Sophia, just because something is fashionable, just because something is passing through and is disposable, to remember that there are eternal things that are valuable. Of course, there are things that were from long ago, like bubonic plague and racism, that we want rid of as quickly as possible. But to take the jewels that have come through the years. So if no pupil is greater than their master, we need to be aware of the quality of who we're learning from. There could be things from the past which need to be cherished, which need to be developed, and there are other things that need to be challenged and need to be confronted. And telling the difference between the two is where it gets tough. And the fullness of life comes in giving up your life to gain the depth of that wisdom. So let us be still and let us pray. Loving God, grant to us the wisdom to discern truth and hold it fast. grant us the courage to build our lives upon what we know to be right. Not necessarily easy, not necessarily fashionable, not necessarily contemporary, but right. And give us good and wise teachers to work out what that is, what that looks like. And help us to be brave enough to do it. And we ask that you would bless Sophia as she journeys that path too. Lord, we pray. Amen. The hymn is Amazing Grace. Have a seat. We have a box in the foyer for people to write requests for prayer, and we've had a request for prayer, so I'll read that. And we also, in Kingston, there's a group of people who are town centre chaplains who go around just checking in with the workers in the shops just to see how they are, and we have a request from one worker in the shop. So from the foyer box it says, Tracy and John need help. Please ask for us. And then pray for Jan, who is in one of the shops in Eden Walk. Her sister died suddenly in South Korea, and she was unable to get to the funeral. Imagine if you got your own shop, that would be a problem. And you can also imagine the burden of that. So we pray. Loving God, we have been asked to pray for Tracy and John, who need your help. And you know who they are, even though we don't. Pray for all those others that we know. People that we know who are ill. People that we know who are struggling at work. People having difficult relations with their neighbours. Those who are coming to terms with the pictures that they've seen on their screens. And those whose homes have been burned. Whose confidence has been shaken. Those who others in their ignorance are blaming. Those looking for houses. Those working for peace. We pray for Jan, who works in one of the shops in Eden Walk. Not able to get back to South Korea in time for the funeral. We pray for all those who live near us and in our community, for whom the distance is a challenge to the ordinary, respectful things of family life. Pray for those who cannot go home because their country is an oppressive regime, particularly in this community. We pray for those from North Korea. We ask, O God, that you would comfort all those who mourn. Be with those who on this day are coming to the end of their days. And we ask that you would pray for us, you would be with us. We pray for ourselves. Lord, we bring all our prayers, spoken and in the silence. We bring them all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Bless the lives that we offer. Bless the money that we bring. Receive these gifts and use them to do that which is right, that which is good. Lord, we pray. Amen. As I have that effect on everybody, you know that. Some people here nodding off all over the place. So this is for Jensen. And this is the certificate of baptism, which is a United Reformed Church certificate, but a certificate of Christian baptism. So there we are. Just add that to your pile, eh? Which I'll grow. We're going to sing our final hymn now, Thank We All Our God. Right, what should we play? I Spy? Hey. Come on, come and let me see what you've been up. Let us all see what you've been up to. Have you making, are these sparrows? That they are very, actually, they're parrots, aren't they? Let's be clear, if Jesus was from Costa Rica, he would have said, two parrots. Yes? Hold your parrots up. Fab. We know that's true. We know it's true. Beautiful. Thank you very much for letting us see them. And I've got something here for Jensen. Jensen, this is for you. Can I have my fingernails back, please? So may God enable us to know that we are loved and we are cherished. And may that love flow through us and from us and now allow us to live lives shaped by it. Amen. Thank you. Cool.